Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Hallelujah. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you today. Thank you for this important part of the service. This is the part where you speak to us and you speak into our lives. I pray in the name of Jesus that you will help us to receive your word today. Touch our ears, may we hear well. Touch our minds, may we comprehend. Touch our hearts, let your word sink in deeply in the name of Jesus. Have free course amongst us, and may we all be blessed because we came. In Jesus' mighty name, let everybody say amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you very much. All right. Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We are reading from verse 1 to 12 of 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And I'm continuing with my series on Don't Get Used to It, Don't Accept It. Tell your neighbor, don't get used to it. Don't accept it. Tell one more person, don't get used to it. Don't accept it. Hallelujah. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water. For they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. These things happened as a warning to us, so that we will not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scriptures say, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan revelry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did, and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did, and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the end of the age. If you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Tell your neighbor, don't be overconfident. Don't be too sure of yourself, lest you fall. Be cool. Very cool. Very cool. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. One more scripture, Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. Galatians 5, 1. From the Good News Translation, it says, freedom is what we have. Christ has set us free. Stand then as free people and do not allow yourselves to become slaves again. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. All right. You know, my friends, there are different reasons why the Bible is the most unique, the most authentic, and the most dependable book ever. There are different reasons why the Bible is described as such. Now, one of the reasons is Because the Bible does not attempt to hide the flaws, the failures, the mistakes, the shortcomings of its central human characters, like the heroes of faith in the Bible. You realize that their mistakes, their flaws, their shortcomings were clearly spoken about in the Word of God. And the Bible is very open and transparent about all these people. Now, that thing is one of the reasons why you can depend on the Bible. And it's a sign that it is actually God's word. Because you see, human beings do not talk easily about their flaws and their mistakes. Rather, what we do is that we cover them up. So when you go for a funeral, have you ever heard them saying anything bad about anybody at his or her funeral before? So then the impression that creates is that everybody who dies was a good person. But that ain't true. There's a woman who was at her husband's funeral, and as she listened to the tribute being read about her husband, she got up and said, "I am at the wrong funeral." Because the person they are talking about, Ilele, I don't know him. This is somebody who is a complete stranger to me. So to have a book that talks about not just the positives of its main characters, but then brings out their negatives, their flaws, and their mistakes. So we know about Adam and Eve and the bad thing that they did. Is that not so? Abraham slept with his maidservant, went to lie that his wife was his sister. Is he not the one called the father of faith? Moses was a murderer. All right? Gideon was a coward. David, we could accuse him of adultery and murder. And the list goes on. You say, "Pastor, all the ones that you've said have to do with the Old Testament. Let's come to the New Testament." The Bible makes it clear that during Jesus' greatest time of need, all his disciples and followers abandoned him. They left him, every one of them. And then his trusted lieutenant, Peter himself, on three occasions, he said very clearly and emphatically, "This man, I don't know him. I don't associate with riffraffs. I don't know anything about him." Paul, did somebody say Paul? He wrote most of the New Testament. The story of his life is the story of an accessory to murder. He was involved. You know, when a murder takes place and it comes up in the law courts, it is not just the ones who directly committed the murder that the court is interested in, but even anybody who was an accessory. You were involved in it. So maybe you hide somebody to kill somebody you don't like. If the court finds out that this is what happened and you are not the one who dealt that fatal blow, you will still be severely punished for it. And Paul was involved in the murder of many people. These are the great men of the Bible. Now, Jesus Christ came through the line of Hagar. Not Hagar, Rahab. Who was at the end? The prostitute. Yeah. And when you read the Bible, if you read the heroes of faith, you read about them. When Rahab's name is mentioned, it's her ministry, her profession, was also clearly indicated. So you can say that the Bible is not trying to hide anything, because it is not man speaking. It is actually the word of God. And the Bible makes their flaws so clear to us so that we will realize that man is nothing. Man is not great. You shouldn't focus on the greatness of man. Rather, we should focus on the greatness of God, focus on the glory of God, focus on the power of God. Hallelujah. But another reason why the flaws and the mistakes and the shortcomings of God's people, as recorded in the Bible, have been recorded for us, is to serve as examples and warnings to all of us, so that we will be conscious of these mistakes and make sure that we do not repeat them. Which is what the Bible said clearly at the latter part of the scripture from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, which I read to you, that these things happened to them to serve as examples. When you look at the people of Israel, you can see that they made a lot of mistakes, did a lot of terrible things. And we were asking ourselves that, what was the root cause of the mistakes that they made? And I submitted to you that one of the main reasons, if not the main reason, why they messed up so much is because some things did not change for them. They got used to certain things and they accepted those things. And those things had a severe effect on them. So what that should tell us, if we are to learn from them, is that as we move through this life, we got to be very careful. That there are things that we must be careful we don't accept. There are things that we must be careful we don't get used to, lest we make the same mistakes that the people of Israel made. Now, understand that there are a lot of similarities between us and them. They are called the people of God, and so are we called. They are Israel in the flesh. We are Israel in the spirit. Once upon a time, they were in bondage and in captivity in Egypt. We also were in bondage and captivity in the world. Egypt is a type of the world. God sent Moses to deliver them. God sent Jesus to deliver us. After delivering them, they embarked on a journey to get to the promised land. We also are on a journey. So there are a lot of similarities. And that is why there is a lot to learn from them. And I'm submitting to you that one of the main lessons to pick up and learn from the mistakes of the people of Israel is that there are some things that we must not accept. And there are some things that we must not get used to. Hallelujah. Like what? And I started showing you. One of the things that they got used to was bondage and abuse. They got used to the idea of being slaves. Which is why when they experienced certain challenges on the way to the promised land. And I mentioned to you last week, my friends, that life is full of challenges. Anything that you're trying to do in this life, there are challenges that you would have to deal with. You cannot, because of those challenges, say that I'm not going again. I'm not traveling again. If your mother sends you to school, that go and learn, you go to the boarding house, you meet challenges in the boarding house. You meet a senior who doesn't like you and will torment your life, or a teacher who will give you problems, or a headmaster who is not fair to you. If you like, come home from school. Come and tell your mother that a senior this, headmaster this. You cannot say that. Anywhere you want to get to in life, there are obstacles to overcome. It is therefore surprising that the people of Israel, even with all the mighty things they saw and experienced with God, they experienced God's provision, God's protection, God's deliverance, God took care of them. They experienced all of that. Yet when they experienced their hardships and the challenges in the wilderness, their response was, let's go back. Let's go back to what? Because Egypt was not a five-star experience. It was a prison camp. They were slaves. Not slaves who were being treated nicely and properly. Slaves who were being ill-treated. Slaves who were being abused. Being whipped. All kinds of terrible things happened to them. Yet they said, let's go back to bondage. Let's go back to the abuse. And I'm explaining to you, my friends, that you can get to a place in your life where bondage and abuse can feel normal. If you go to any of our prisons, any of our high security prisons, and you interrogate the prisoners there, I can guarantee that you'll find prisoners who, it's not like that's their first time in prison. Maybe it's their 25th time. So something always brings them back there. And I can tell you that there are prisoners who are used to prison. Because they tell themselves that kwata kwata menya baby ada, I'll get something to eat. A lot of people, when they leave prison, they become rejects, outcasts. Their families do not want to have anything to do with them. So they go back there. But I'm explaining to you that what can actually happen to you is that you can become so used to bondage and abuse that you feel it is normal. And that's what happened to the people of Israel. The other thing that they accepted, that they got used to, I told you, was a negative mentality, a wrong way of thinking. So, again, we look at them when their struggles began, which is normal. I'm saying to you again that the journey through life, it comes with struggles, and it is very normal. When they started going through some challenges, they started saying that, oh, we wish we were back. We were back in Egypt. They said, in Egypt, come and see food, meat, fish, onions, garlic, cucumber. You see, Adriani. Look at this manna. Now, manna was a special food that God caused to rain down. Heavenly food. By the way, get ready, because when we get to heaven, we'll eat manna. Okay. The way they even re-described it. And you see, it is only when your mind is not working well that you begin to talk in a certain way. When the spies came and 10 of them gave an evil report, it's like they completely blanked out what God did for them. How God delivered them, plus all the other people who confronted them on their journeys. They forgot it. And as they started complaining, they organized. You see, when you experience victories in this life, what they are supposed to do for you is to give you a certain confidence and a certain assurance that if you meet a similar kind of problem again, by the grace of God, you will make it and you will overcome. That's what it's supposed to do for you. So when the 10 spies who brought an evil report started talking about the giants, grasshoppers, and all those things, they should have reminded themselves of what God had done for them before. And what they should have done, instead of the funeral service that they organized, they should have organized a praise jama session they should have sung, Enele koko, Enele koko, Enele koko, Enele koko. They should have said, Yesu bafe, Yesu bafe, Yesu bafe, they should have sung a praise song. Instead of Ajeye wo, Ajeye wo, Ajeye okuyenyo, Moses the Abbas wo bekuyenyo, Nyami went to me and to okuyen waho. And all night, that is what they sang. And because their minds were not working correctly, they were not thinking correctly, instead of focusing on what God had done for them, all their minds could dwell on were the challenges ahead of them. So they got used to a certain wrong way of thinking. It's dangerous. The other thing that they got used to bad circumstances. You can get used to bad circumstances. They got so used to their bad circumstances that they even went further to represent them as good experiences. Because the picture that they painted of Egypt, which was a place of slavery and a place of bondage, it was a picture of everything was cool. Everything was nice. But the truth of the matter was that the circumstances were very dire, very bad, very difficult for them, which was the reason why they themselves started crying out to God to redeem them and to save them. So now they were saying that let's go back to Egypt. Let's go, because things were better then. So bad circumstances are now being re-described as great experiences. You can get used to your bad circumstances in this life. You can. Then the other one, wrong environment and culture. Did I talk about that? No, I did not. Yeah. They got used to a wrong environment and a wrong culture. They got used to the environment of Egypt, the environment of bondage. And they got used to the culture, the customs, the traditions, the way of behavior of the Egyptians. How do I know? Acts chapter 7, verse 39 to 41. Acts 7, 39 to 41. It says, but our ancestors, now this is Stephen, the first martyr, talking to the people. And this was a speech that he gave before they stoned him to death. He said, but our ancestors refused to listen to Moses. These same people that we are talking about, he was referring to them. They rejected him and wanted to return to Egypt. And that's what they did. They told Aaron, make us some gods. How can you make a god? How can you make a god? He said, make us some gods who can lead us. For we don't know what has become of this Moses who brought us out of Egypt. So they made an idol shaped like a calf, and they sacrificed to it and celebrated over this thing that they had made. So picture this. Moses had been summoned by God to the top of the mount because God was putting together a set of laws that were going to govern his people. Because God's intention was to make them a great people. And any society where there are no laws, there are no rules, no regulations, that society will not function well. So this was what Moses had gone up the mountain for. And he was there for a very long time. Then the people started complaining that this Moses is not coming. We've been here for too long. Yabreno. Then Aaron, who had been left in charge, they demanded of him, make us some gods. He asked for their rings. Melted the rings. Smelted the rings. And then he formed a calf, a baby cow. And then put it up and told the people, behold, your God. Then the people were very excited and said, yes, this cow is the one who brought us out of Egypt. Now, who brought them out of Egypt? So if they say that this cow is the one who brought them out of Egypt, and God is the one who actually brought them out from Egypt, if you do the correlation, what does it mean? That God is a cow. As if I'm monitoring, I'm explaining, baby, actually, woman. That's the implication of what they were saying. And they started worshiping. Oh, our Savior. Oh, our Redeemer. You are the one who killed the Egyptians for us. You are the one who provided water. They started worshiping. And not just that. They had learned certain things from Egypt. How to play. Eat. Feast. Have sex with everybody. So you finish with this one. Then you do with this one. Then you do with this one. Then you do with this one. They had learned how to do that there. So that day, they started manifesting fully. What that should tell you is that they never really got away from that environment and that culture of the people of Israel. And it should tell us something. So these are four clear things that they accepted, that they got used to, which they shouldn't have. And I want to say again to us that these things were written to serve as examples to us. And the question that this raises is it possible that we also, who are now on the journey to the promised land, which is heaven, is it possible that there are things we have accepted which we shouldn't accept? Is it possible that there are things we are getting used to which we shouldn't get used to? And every one of us needs to do what we call an introspection. Look inside. Don't look at anybody else. It is always easy to look at others and talk about this and that, what is wrong with them. And it's also easy to just blame somebody else for all your problems and all your challenges. That blame game thing, it doesn't help anybody. We've played this game all our lives. Adam and Eve started it. Then we've also picked it up. So you see it played out on a daily basis. Employers are blaming employees for the business that is not working. Employees are blaming employers for not taking good care of them and giving them good salary. Students are blaming teachers for not passing the exams. Teachers are blaming the students for not being serious and not dressing properly to get to the lecture hall. The government is blaming the citizens. We don't work hard. We like too many holidays. And then the citizens are also blaming the government. Oga de chopa miyafu nyafu. So the economy is not doing well. Husbands are blaming wives. Wives are blaming husbands. Children are blaming parents. Parents are blaming children. That's it. That's all we do. There's a point when all of that has to stop. And in this sermon, God is speaking to each and every one of us. Now let's learn from the people of Israel. Are there certain things that we are accepting? Things that we have become used to, which pose a real danger to us, which can stop us from entering into the blessings of God for our lives? Is it possible that there are things like that? Yes. So what are the things we got to watch out against? Number one, we must make sure that we do not accept and get used to sin and evil. We must not accept and get used to sin and evil. Let me define sin for you so that you get certain things out of your head. Sin Is any thought, word, action, or attitude that goes against the will of God, the character of God, and the commands of God? I say it again. Sin is any thought, or dream, any word, if we will know, any action, any attitude, any attitude that is against the will of God, the character of God, and the commands of God. Anything that falls into what I've just described is what sin is. That's what sin is. So again, I'm emphasizing to you, don't just look at sin from the angle of the big six or seven. Don't look at it like that. Because I've showed you the definition of sin. It can be in your head, thoughts. Your word, what you say. You can easily say that my mouth is begun. Yeah, but your mouth is more lethal. Because the wounds that are inflicted, I think you've dropped me too much. The wounds that are inflicted by words, they are very difficult to heal. Ne? Because they cut you to the core, deep inside. Which bomb belt are you going to take to solve that heart problem that you have? Yeah. So just by what you say, you can be sinning. Then actions is what we are always looking at. Then attitude, we don't think too much about that. But that's what sin is. Evil is anything that is not good. Yeah. Just look at it, and anything that is not good is evil. And ladies and gentlemen, we must decide that we are not going to get used to sin and evil, and we are not going to accept it. Because it is possible to get to a place in your Christian walk where you accept it. Where you tell yourself that it's okay. It's nothing. I don't care. What can come, can come. Everybody is into it. Everybody is doing it. It's okay. There's nothing wrong. There are wilder things. There are worse things. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't committed adultery. I'm not on drugs. So it's okay for me to be insulting people all the time. It's okay for me to be spreading stories about people. It's okay for me to be beating my wife or my husband, because that one also happens. Yeah. You can get to a point where you accept every bad behavior and say that there's nothing wrong. And you have an excuse and a justification for it. We can get to that place in life. And so the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 14 to 16 from the New International Version. It says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Do not conform. In other words, don't get used to them. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. That's God's standard for us. And when we talk about holiness, it is in two perspectives. There's the holiness that has been imputed to us through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. So then we become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So God sees us as holy people. That's one aspect of it. But then he's also expecting that we will strive for holiness, to live in a way that is in tandem with what we have been made, that agrees with what we are in Christ Jesus. That's what he expects. And that one, it is a lifelong perpetual thing. Every day you should strive to become a better person. Every day you should strive to overcome things. Every day you should strive to do good, to live in a certain way. Those are the two perspectives of holiness. But the lesson here for us is we should not get to a place where we feel that it's okay if there's everything wrong with us. We should not get to a place where we accept sin, and we should always be so sensitive to the point where you realize that this is bad. You should realize it. You should feel it. And that matters a lot to God. And even if you are struggling with something, that feeling of this is a bad thing, this is not a good, you should never lose it. When you lose it, it means that you've gotten used to it. Hallelujah. The second thing that we shouldn't accept and get used to is wickedness. You are surprised, you see. Yeah, wickedness. What is the key word for wickedness? Key expression. Eh? Ewudie. Utrimodin. Ti. Etrimodin. Etri is what? Head. Modin is what? Heart. So when you put it together, it's what? Your head inside is what?
Yes.
You see, that word wickedness, it means a lot of things. It means heartless, insensitive, unfeeling, brutal, vicious, unkind, mean, injurious. That's what that word means. To be wicked. And one of the things that we can actually get used to in this life is to be very wicked. The reason is because many people are not seeing top. So there is a natural sense of self-preservation. So that thing where you have feelings for your brother, where you are in a position to help somebody, but you withhold it. The description of that thing is what? Wickedness. And you see that when I said wickedness, it sounded funny. But I'm sure that as I have gone through this, and as I'm pressing on, you can see that it is very easy to move through life and be a very wicked fellow. Wickedness in what you say about people, the stories you spread about them, the slander, the fabrications, the accusations, the gossips. Yeah. But you may not say, well, so when I talk about wickedness, I think, oh, I don't kill anybody. I haven't killed anybody, so what are you talking about? But it is wickedness. Look at this prayer in Psalms 139, verse 23 to 24. Psalms 139, verse 23 to verse 24. New King James Version, if you don't mind. What does it say? Can we read it together? Ready? Go! Or know my thoughts. Then the next verse, verse 24. Pause. Read that part again. And read it for the third time. And hey, this is a very good prayer to pray every day. Search me. Search my heart. Because it is very easy to have a wicked heart. But you move about normally and you don't feel that there's anything wrong with you. There's a story in Matthew 18. You're familiar with that story of the servant who owed his master a lot. And the debt, as described, even if you sell the guy, sell his wife, sell his children, his cows, his goats, his shirt, trousers, everything that he has, when you put the sales together, it will not even reach 1 millionth of what he owed. His master came and said, come and pay. What the kache? May God give you the ability to pay all your debts. What? And this is a prophetic word for somebody. Because I didn't say, that saith the Lord, take it one. It's a prophetic word to you. The carnal door, so do it. Master, come and pay. Say, master, I beg you, be patient with me. And the way the guy was broken, kneeling down, crying, I didn't want to fem. When the man looked at, the master looked at him, he felt very sorry for him. And he said, I forgive you. I forgive you. You don't have to pay back. The guy couldn't believe it. Started crying. Rabbit shrow. Oma unyinche. Maybe anko ye mao. Onsa wa name emo mohu. Mohu, 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 mohu. As soon as he left his master's place, he saw at the junction a colleague of his who owed him. So he owed his master millions of dollars. Millions. And what his fellow servant owed him was just about $1,000. When he says, Wonami Shushel. Hey, Miss Kanway, where's my money? Today, you are paying me money. The guy, and the same thing that he said to his master and was forgiven was exactly the same thing. He said, be patient with me. I'll pay you. And then he grabbed him by the throat. Now, when you grab somebody by the throat, what is the likely intention? You want to kill the person. You won't kill him. Now, this is somebody who had just been forgiven so much. And now, is threatening to kill somebody else who owed him very little. He organized for the guy to be thrown into prison. If he doesn't pay, don't release him. Oh, you police people here, I know your things. Don't release him. His colleagues went to report to the master. And when the master came, this is what he said to him. Matthew 18, 32. Then the master called the servant in, and this is how he addressed him. You wicked. How did he describe him again? Wicked. He called him a wicked servant. Did he kill anybody? He attempted, but he didn't succeed. But did he kill anybody? No. He didn't do anything like that, but he was described as wicked. So when you're supposed to show kindness, be sensitive, be helpful, be involved, and you don't, is wickedness. And I'm saying this to us because, like I said earlier, the way the life now is, we can easily end up being very wicked, insensitive people as we move through this life. When God's expectation of us is that we will let our light so shine amongst men that they will see our good works and give glory to our Heavenly Father. We can be in a church like this and be very wicked and insensitive to other people's needs. Look at Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 to 10. From the message, Deuteronomy 15, verse 7 to 10. So, this was to the people of Israel in context, but we are also the people of God, aren't we? So this is what it says. When you happen, which means when you meet someone who is in trouble or needs help among your people, which people? People. People refers to people. People are people. Help among your people with whom you live in this land that God, your God, is giving you. Don't look the other way, pretending you don't see him. It's like, I don't see you. You can see the person. It goes on and says, don't keep a tight grip on your purse. No. Look at him. Open your purse. Lend whatever and as much as he needs. Don't count the cost. Don't listen to that selfish voice saying, it's almost the seventh year. The year of all debts are canceled. There was a year like that where the law was that, sa afi obiedu kebia fa chenu ye twem wusi ye we wu trimu yeah. So you tell yourself, no, it cannot be the year of all debts canceled. The year has to be postponed. And then you turn aside and leave your needy neighbor in the lurch, refusing to help him. He will call God's attention to you. And look at how it is described. Your blatant what? Give freely and spontaneously. Don't have a stingy heart. The way you handle matters like this triggers God. Your God's blessing in everything you do. All your work and ventures. What he's saying is that attitude of kindness. Try a little kindness. Show a little kindness. That thing, it has a way of provoking God to bless you and to do you good. Then he says, there are always going to be poor and needy people among you. So I command you, always be generous. Open purse and hands. Give to your neighbors in trouble, your poor and hurting neighbors. Tell the person sitting by you that the word of God is. So today, you have to show me. Yes, show me something very clearly. You can see that I am in need and you are not minding me. Today, that thing is going away. Tell the person, take it one. Take it two. Take it three. Yes. Speak, Lord, speak. Wickedness. I think that's one of the most wicked people in the world. Are Christians. Us. Yeah. Look, I'm sure some of you saw a video, a clip on Facebook or TikTok or something. It was a lady, a young lady who was crying. What was it? She said she had done that video to say thank you to nurses. That when her uncle had an asthmatic attack and was sent to the hospital, because they said they were on strike, they saw the guy struggling and the senior nurse on duty was like, Munjano, leave him alone. And she said he died. So that video that she did was out of her pain. But you see, there was something that she said that really struck me in that video. She said, let's remember that we are humans. It is true that you are not being treated well. What is due you is not being given to you. And I want to say that the way we treat our doctors, our nurses, paramedical staff in this country, it's not a good thing. It is not a good thing. But you see, this lady was explaining that yes, it is true. They are not giving you what you deserve. But how
Can you shut down your bowels of mercy and watch a fellow human being go through something that you can help? It's not like you are not in a position to help. You can help, but you tell yourself that I won't. And they all go to church. And we all call ourselves Christians.
One day they were chasing a church mouse in the church. Chasing. Then it finally found a hole and went into it. Then it poked its head out and looked at the people chasing. And they called themselves Christians. Have I been successful in painting a picture of wickedness to you and how close it can be to you, but you're not even aware of it? Yeah. So let's not accept it. Let's not get used to it. The third and the last one for today, bondage and abuse, which we've already spoken about. But let me touch on it as we close. Now, bondage is slavery. It is the state of being bound, restrained, tied up, and chained. So if you are in a situation like that, where you are chained, you are tied down, you are helpless, you are restrained, it's like you are not being allowed to have your freedom. That is what bondage is. And then abuse is bad or improper treatment that leads to harm. And the Bible says in Galatians 5 verse 1, stand fast therefore in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't accept it. Do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage. This is a New King James Version. John 8:36, New Living Translation. John 8:36. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free. Tell your neighbor, you are free. Because Jesus has set you free. So don't accept bondage. And don't accept abuse. Hallelujah. And you can accept it. You can get used to it. You can get used to bondage. Alright? You can be at a place where you know that this is not where I'm supposed to be. But you kind of get used to it. So you just stay there. And it begins to feel very normal. Like how the people of Israel felt that Egypt was a good place. When it was a place of bondage. You can get to that place. You can be in a relationship of abuse. But then you feel that it is very normal. And you can just accept it. You can just accept it. You can work in a place where there is captivity. And you are just there. And it's almost like you feel that I can't do anything about it. So I should just embrace it. Learned helplessness. You can even be in bondage in a church. You know, you can know that, you can see very clearly that the way things are done here, the way things are handled, it does not conform to what I know the Word of God says about Christian behavior. Yet, it's like, it's okay. Now, sometimes we explain it away. We say that, oh, no church is perfect. It's true. No church is perfect. But can't you see that something is not right? So you get used to it, you accept it, and it's like, I got to live with it. You can be in an abusive relationship. See, you're in a relationship with a guy and he beats you regularly. I mean, it's like the way you take paracetamol, 2 in the morning, 2 in the afternoon, 2 in the evening. Every day, he dishes out a dosage of beatings. And you're still in the relationship. When we ask you, say, me don't. Say, wanwa mi ameu. Mi ni obi ati se no wama sit ne imu. Do you know that there are some people who feel, they actually feel that because he beats me, he loves me. That the demonstration of love is beatings. Yeah. Look, somebody just said what I would tell. Obesisa. Yeah. Yeah, you are real best, sir. May I announce to you that people can change. But in this short life that I have lived, I have also seen that even though people can change, people also don't change. So like somebody said, this whole relationship into marriage thing, it is called seesaw. What you saw is what you see. Because the relationship is a rehearsal. Tio, onyanye onwade, he hasn't bought, because he hasn't brought a suitcase of cloth. He's not even gone for the list and everything. And look at the way he's treating you. Then now, your parents have given him a long list. And he has had to go and scrape all his money, all his investment everywhere. Or the ababe ye wonwa die. Me nye wonwa die ne krana mi dufu dufu. Si siye ya mato, siwi machine. I'm a war. Okay, so I'll bet you. Listen, my friend. Don't get used to it, okay? It may feel normal to you. It's not normal. Every time we look at you, some part of your face has changed. Once upon a time, your nose was quite prominent. Sisi, I said totally. Nenye sana na ohinetie. Nenye sana na ohinetie. Hwani ayaye wo. Yeah. Don't get used to it. Now, the tricky one is when now you are married and there is abuse. You're asking me. I should open my big ewe mouth and come and tell you that they will kill you if you stay in this thing. So leave. I should come and tell you. Then, nyamiadum, you fix the problem. Then you go and tell him, say, Pastor say, Tamani enya ya kasakasanu. He said, I should leave you. Then I'll be here. Then he will come with a cutlass. Mr. Moa, you are of age. You should know what to do. Me, I will never open my mouth and tell you that divorce, walk out of it and all of that. I won't say that. I will also not blame you. But if you are leaving that responsibility to me, why do you want to pass on responsibility every time? To it says, minim nya meye. Wunim nya obeya. Misu minim. also don't know. And you have to use both your head and your heart. It's very, very important. Now, by this, I'm not giving an excuse of you go into a marriage, small challenge, no. You're bad, sorry, no. Bishop, say abuse. Mejai, me worry, biom. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm saying at all. Don't turn the sermon into something else. Because in marriage, there are a lot of challenges. There are a lot of issues. And to quote Brother Theo again, there's a lot of nonsense with a capital N. All of us have our fair share of that. Sometimes I get it from her, and then sometimes I dish it out to her. Did you see what she just did? Yeah, Atika kind of thing. That's the thing. That's what it is. You can't every time they say, no, I'm going. You're going where? We don't just go like that. You see, your father and your mother, they were married for 35 years, 40 years. You'd think that they didn't have issues. That's what you think. They had issues. Serious ones that you've not seen some before. It's just that your mother doesn't want to see. And then sometimes you weigh things, look at things, and you realize that I would do more harm than good if I leave at this time. Then in a situation like that, you now have to believe God for wisdom to know how to maneuver. But there are extreme cases. And for those extreme cases, I'm saying don't accept it. Don't get used to it. Whatever that means to you, take it. But don't accept it. Don't get used to it. Don't tell yourself that that's how it's supposed to be. I don't want to bury anybody. I don't want to do that. So don't get used to it. And don't accept it. My time is up. We'll continue next week. Stand to your feet and let's pray. And would you like to thank God for His word? I have a strong conviction that God has spoken to all of us. You know, that there are things that God is stirring up inside of you. There are a lot more things that we must not accept, that we must not get used to. And we'll get into them as we move along. But I want you to speak to God right now. Pray and ask that God help me. Help me not to accept what I shouldn't accept. Help me not to get used to what I shouldn't get used to in my life. Help me not to accept sin, accept evil, accept bondage, accept abuse, accept captivity, accept wickedness. Help me, oh God, not to accept these things because they can derail me and I can end up the way the people of Israel ended up, where many of them did not make it to the place of blessing. Help me, God. Help me. Give me wisdom. Open my eyes. Let me see what I must see. In the mighty name of Jesus. Speak to the Lord this morning. In Jesus' name. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us. Help us this morning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And as every head is bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray with you, my friend. Now, you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's not argue about it because you know. You know that you are not born again. You know that Jesus is not the Lord and Savior of your life. But the good news is that you can be saved today and you can have a relationship with Jesus. He can become the Lord and Savior of your life. Really, all you need to do is to accept His sacrifice. All you have to do is to open your heart to Him and say, I believe in you. I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you came to die for my sins. I believe you rose again on the third day. I receive you as my Lord and Savior. That's it. If you pray that prayer in faith, it gets the job done. And today you have an opportunity to give your heart to Jesus. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, I want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my heart to Jesus. Don't forget about anybody standing by you. Just focus on the Lord. Wherever you are, can you lift up your right hand? And I'm going to pray for you wherever you are. God bless you. God bless you. Or maybe you are watching me. You're watching me, my friend. And you know that Jesus is not Lord of your life. But you need to change the story. You want to give your heart to Him. Wherever you are, in your room, I can see you, but the Lord can see you. You can lift up your hand right now. Do it. Do it. You can feel that there's a prompting, an edging inside of you to raise your hand. Do it right where you are. God bless you. Now, if your hand is raised, wherever you are, physically here or watching online, can you just pray this prayer and let everybody join in the prayer? Say, Dear Lord Jesus, today I come to you just as I am. Oh God, please forgive me for all my sins. Please wash me with the blood of Jesus. From today, I am yours and you are mine. I receive Jesus as my Lord and my personal Savior. For the rest of my life, I'll serve Him. I'll follow Him. I will live for Him. Oh God, please write my name in the book of life. Thank you, Father, for hearing my prayer. I am saved. I am saved. I am saved. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.